Hi. Open your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 13, verse 33. Excuse me. John chapter 13, verse 33. Before we start, I just want to thank you all on behalf of Joanne and I for your all the love and hospitality shown to us. As I said, the first meeting, this is always a special place to us. We feel like we're coming home here. We feel comfortable with you. I don't know if that's good or not, but for us it's good. And you're always way too kind to us. In fact, every day we look out through a picture window in our house that reminds us of you. It had a tree through it in the storm, and it was made up here and brought down and installed. And when everything you have is sort of washed around in your house like a mix master sort of, and people come in from all over the place to make it right, they probably get to know you better than you might like them to know you. You know, they find out there are no secrets at that point. Everything is sort of just laid out there. So we count it a privilege, the work that men and women did from here in not just our home, but many homes down in South Louisiana. And the many people, many, many people that we know that didn't come but prayed, and that was probably the biggest impact. That was the driving force behind those that came and behind most of the work that got done. So we appreciate all of you and knowing that you're there. Thank you for you. John chapter 13, starting at the 33rd verse. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, where I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. What's the next word? If you have love one for another. Let's pray. Father, bless the reading of your word and bless the taking in of your word. We pray now as we endeavor to look one last time at this topic of loving the Lord and demonstrating our love for the Lord, that your Spirit would be our teacher. Father, don't let me get in the way of what you have planned here this morning, but move the very heart and mind of God from these pages into our innermost being, we pray. Let it be your Spirit that's our teacher this morning, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, we've been looking at what? Young people. Give me a help. You're too old, Cecil. It's ancient. What have we been looking at? The believers. My wife is pointing. Right here. Is that the one? No. Over here. Takes direction well. Okay. Listen, I am the head of my household. And my wife lets me say so. She's the neck that turns the head. Okay, which one am I looking at? Yellow shirt? The believer's primary occupation. Very good. Very good. You get a star. That was a better answer than you had, Mr. Cecil. I knew we were, and I knew my wife and I were, and I knew. Isn't it great being a Christian? I mean, let's just digress for a minute, you know? I was a sailor for 25 years. I've been all over the world. If it's there to be seen, I've seen it, probably done it. I'm not real proud of a lot of it, but I'll tell you, I've been somewhere in my life. And the very best thing there is in this world is being saved. I'm telling you, it's the very best thing in this world. If you're here today and you're not saved, you're missing out on the cherry on the ice cream sundae of life. It's the very best thing there is. Oh, look at this. You're a good man. You're a good man. Just checking. Just checking. I see Christians, you know, that go around, don't you want Jesus as your Savior? You know, you could be just like me. You know? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think you lost something along the way, you know. Life is really good as a believer. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus in a person, I'm not talking about religion. The big church I grew up in, 20,000 members when I left there in 1964. I left there longer ago than many of you are old. It was a great church. My parents were involved in starting it from a Bible study. It grew to 20,000 members. The pastor ate in the White House. He was famous. We had choirs and pipe organs and processionals and, I mean, stuff. We had stuff, you know. It was just gigantic. And as they go, it was probably a pretty good church of that ilk. I was preaching one day in Kansas, I think, and this fella came up afterwards and he said, "Are you talking about ABC? Da, da, da?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I knew it." He said, "I know that church." It had stuff. It really had stuff. But, you know, it didn't have the joy of the Lord. It didn't have, I never found the Lord there, or he never found me. It was just religion. And, you know, a relationship with the Lord Jesus isn't about religion. It's about a personal relationship with a person. I didn't quite understand that before I was saved. But it's coming to that point in your life where you realize that you, not the world, but you personally, are a sinner. And that because of that sin, you can't get to heaven. And therefore, you need to be saved from hell. Saved from paying the penalty for your sin. No preacher taught me that. A sailor, a second-class petty officer that I flew helicopters with in the 70s, I guess, during Vietnam. He asked me one day, "Bob," he said, "have you gotten to a point in your spiritual life where you know for sure if you died today you'd go to heaven?" And I said, "You know, I don't think anybody can know that for sure." Now let me ask you this same question. Have you gotten to a point in your spiritual life where you know for sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Do you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven? That's the most important question you can be asked. Young people? Old codgers? And everything in between. It's the single most important question of life. Do you know for sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? And I said, "Well, I don't know if anybody can know that for sure." That was the wrong answer. And he said, "Well, let me ask you another question. Let's say you did die today, and you showed up at the gates of heaven, and Jesus met you there and said, 'Bob, why should I let you into my heaven?' What would you say?" "I'm Bob." And I said, "That's a tough question, Charlie." That's maybe the toughest question I've ever been answered. I don't know what I'd say. I know I'd say, well, you know, I've tried to be a good person, which is not true. I've tried to love you, which is not true. I try to be a good husband, which is not true. I don't know what I'd say. And he commenced to telling me how in the Bible it says that there's none good, no, not one. And that's why you've got no answer to that question, Bob. Because you're a sinner. You're a sinner in your heart. You're a sinner in your actions. You're a drunk. You're a chaser of the girls. Whatever you call that. Huh? Skirt chaser, that's a good word. Womanizer, that's a good word. All of those are true. You're not a good person. You're a sinner. Now, there are sinners who are pretty good people, but they're still sinners. And it's that sin that's going to keep you, Bob, out of heaven. And listen, folks, if you're here today and you're not saved, it's that sin in your life. If you've got one sin, a little bitty sin, you know? Your wife comes home and she's got this terrible hairdo. And she says, honey, how do you like my new haircut? And you're weighing the options. And you say to her, it's very nice, honey. It was a lie. It was a lie. It was a well-intended lie, but it was a lie. You just qualified for hell. Though you had good intentions, it was a lie. How do you like my new dress, honey? It's beautiful, dear. Beautiful. Given the choice between the garage and beautiful, you chose beautiful, but it was a lie. You just qualified for hell. All have sinned, the Bible says, and come short of what God expects from us, short of His glory. And the wage or the penalty, what we've earned for that is separation from God in a place called hell. He doesn't want us to go there. Hell wasn't made for human beings. It was made for the devil and his angels, but it has enlarged itself because of our sin to hold men and women, boys and girls, who will not have Jesus to rule over them. The wage of sin is death. And I said to him, Charlie, that's not good news. That's really bad news. I'm going to hell. He said, that's right. That's why you need to get saved. But he said, you know, the rest of that verse says, the wage of sin is death. The next word is but. It's a great word. If you follow me around much, you'll have a red pencil in your Bible and you'll circle all the buts in your Bible. It was saved by a but. Don't snicker. The wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What we've earned is going to hell, but Jesus paid the price for you and for me so we could go to heaven. Now, I'll tell you, for an orphan kid from South St. Paul, that was really good news. I spent my life trying to figure out me. When I was born, I say it jokingly, but it's only half jokingly. My mother took one look at me and stuck me in an orphanage. You say, I can understand that, Bob. Yeah. I see you now. You haven't improved much. And I spent the rest of my life trying to figure out how life fit together. Sometime later, a young couple came across the river from Minneapolis and paid $55.50 for me, bought me, took me home, changed my name, made me their child. I became little Bobby Brown. I was born Leonard Allen Bowe. What do you think? Fitting, I guess, maybe, huh? Little Leonard. My birth certificate says Leonard Allen Bowe, a.k.a. also known as Leonard Allen Stenstrom. They bought me for $55.50. I think that's a bargain. Took me home, changed my name to Bobby Brown. Made me their child. 35 years later, I found out I was in the orphanage of life, and Jesus came across time and eternity and paid his life to purchase me and change my name to Christian and make me his child, one day take me home to live with him in heaven. Now I'm telling you what, nobody ever loved a little orphan boy from St. Paul like that. Jesus loved me and gave himself for me. And I'm here to tell you today, Jesus loves you and gave himself for you. If you were the only person in the entire universe, Jesus would have come and died to pay for your sin so you could be his child and be adopted into his family. And one day he'll take you home to be with him in heaven. That's good news. That's the very best news. And when you got that kind of good news, I'll tell you what, anything in life, anything life can dish out. It's all just window dressing. The real story, we know the end of the story. And no matter what life dishes out, the best is yet to come. We're going home to be in heaven. So I just invite you, if you're here today and you haven't made that choice yet of recognizing that you're a sinner and that you need a Savior and asking Jesus to come in and take over your life and be your Savior, do it today. Do it today. It's the very best thing that could ever happen to you. I'm here to tell you. I've been all over the world. I've seen it and done it. And the very best thing that this world has to offer pales compared to life with Jesus Christ as your Savior. He deserves to be our primary occupation. He's the firstborn of all creation, firstborn from the dead. He's number one in God's eyes, and he should be number one in our eyes. He should be preeminent. In him is life and fullness of life, and joy and fullness of joy and peace. He himself said that all of the law and the prophets is summed up in this: love God, love others. What a great deal. Our primary occupation, loving the Lord. And if you really love the Lord, then you're going to love those around you. But how do you do that in a practical sense? And that's kind of what we've been looking at this week. How do we love the Lord? Demonstrate our love for the Lord. How do we do that? We took a little trip to Bethany. What a great little town. And we sat down with four little obscure people, Simon the leper, and he taught us a lesson of hospitality, just sharing what it is that you have. Have people over. Have people in your house. Take them out. Hospitality. Not entertainment, but sharing what you have. It doesn't matter how great or how little it is. A man came down from Minnesota during the storm, and we didn't have anything. And he and Joanne and I sat in our living room on MRE cases and shared an MRE and a bottle of water. And he wept. And he said, "This is the best meal I ever had."
Some goofy guys from North Carolina came down. Really goofy guys from North Carolina came down. And we didn't have anything. And we sat on our patio and they fired up my gas grill with charcoal because there was no gas, if I remember right, I think. And they had brought with them steaks and baked potatoes. It was the best meal I ever had. It doesn't have to be fancy. You just share what it is that you have. It's hospitality. And Martha taught us the lesson of service. Serving others, esteeming others better than self. You can do that with a phone call or a little letter, a little note of encouragement. I have an envelope. Other people, other workers have stolen my idea. So if you come across it somewhere, it's my idea. It started with me. It's called my encouragement envelope. And you probably wouldn't need one around here, but when you're down the bayou, sometimes when you're up to your hip pockets in alligators, it's hard to remember that you came in there to drain the swamp. And sometimes there's carnivorous sheep. I'm sure you don't have those here. So when it gets really rough, I pull out my little encouragement envelope and I'll read some note that someone sent me one time, or I have a recording in there that I pull out once in a while. And Joanne and I were at a New Year's Eve watch night service at our chapel. What we do in our old fellowship hall before we tore it down, it had a fireplace, and we would start a fire and we'd have hot cider and coffee and cookies, and it's really, really quite nice. And so we were there, and as it turned out, it was a roaring evening. We were the only ones there. And so we started the fire and figured people would come, and in the end, nobody came. It was just Joanne and me, and we watched the fire for a little while and closed the flue and went home. And kind of like the two on the Emmaus Road, you know, just kind of walking and kicking dust, thinking, you know, this was a waste of time. You know, what are we doing this for? I should have stayed in the Navy. You know, we could have more fun than this in the Navy. You know? And we were pretty discouraged. We got home, and I noticed when we came in the door that my little answer machine was going beep, 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 beep. I said to Joanne, should we answer it or should we just go to bed? Been one of those days, you know. I'm not sure if we need to answer that, you know. Could be bad. Well, let's answer it anyway. So we pushed the button, and there's this voice on the answer machine that said, "Hey, Bob, we're sorry we missed you, but we're at calling you. I'll get there. Calling you from the pulpit of Grace Gospel Chapel, Plumsteadville, Pennsylvania." It's where we got saved. And we just thought on New Year's Eve that you might need a little encouragement. And they sang to us. I have that recording in my encouragement envelope. You can be a great encouragement to somebody. It's the thought of Martha being a servant. You can call someone. You can write them a little note. You can stop by, bring coffee. Jabe Nicholson's wife has her wicker basket ministry, I think she calls it. She takes a wicker basket and she fills it with a little checkerboard tablecloth and puts a thermos of tea in there and some biscuits and jam. And she goes and visits a shut-in lady. And she calls and says, "Hey, I'm going to come over and have tea. Would that be okay?" "Oh, it'd be wonderful. Should I put it on?" "No," she said, "I'm bringing it all. You don't have to do anything." And she goes by and sets the tablecloth out, has tea and biscuits and jam. It's her encouragement ministry. One day the garbage man came by, and she thought to herself, "I'll bet nobody cares much about garbage men." So she ran out and she said, "Hi, I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciate what you do every week. You keep my stuff taken out. I mean, I don't know what I would do without you." And she said, "I've got a little gift for you here," and gave him a Bible with a gospel tract in it. I'll bet you he never got rid of that Bible. What do you think? He said, "Nobody's ever thanked me before for what I do." You can be a servant of the Lord. Think about those kind of little things that you can do to encourage, challenge, to be there for somebody, to be a servant for someone else. And then Lazarus taught us about fellowship, jointly participating together. It's not just a fellowship meal. It's the idea of each of us has something to put into the pot and each of us has something to take out of the pot. Fellowship. And Mary taught us about worship. How important it is to let the Lord know how much He means to us. I don't know about you in your life, but I can get pretty far from the Lord between Sunday and next Sunday. I mean, I can just get all up to my ears in difficulties in the world, you know. You know? We got governmental problems. You've heard about that, no doubt. We got judicial problems. I mean, we got moral problems. I mean, there is just a ton of problems, you know, to where you could just get to where it's like, if I could just get one gulp of air, Lord, and then Sunday morning comes. And we come out, and we set out this little loaf of bread and this little cup. And it brings us back to really what it's all about. We know how the story ends, you know? If the whole thing blows up tomorrow, I know where I'm going. Streets of gold, crystal river, tree of life, Jesus is there. It doesn't get any better than that. Why waste my time worrying about what the Supreme Court's going to do? You know, they're going to probably legalize frogs driving taxi cabs. I don't know. I mean, there's no telling. You put a bunch of old men in there making decisions that can't be taken out. You know, there's no telling. It's still the best government in the world. If you don't believe it, go other places. Man, but it's terrible, you know? But Sunday morning, we adjust the focus, don't we? And what it's really all about is the end of the story. He's left us here to be lights in this world. And I'll tell you what, lights don't shine bright until the room gets dark. And I think God lets this world get pretty dark just so we can shine. And if we let our lights get all crusted up with the crud of this world, we don't shine very good. You've got to stay above the fray. And then we talked about the fact that love gives. God gave His Son. Jesus gave Himself. And if we love, we should give. And love obeys. The Lord said, "If you love me, obey me." It demonstrates love and lordship. Lots of benefits to giving and obeying. And then this morning we're looking at the fact that love loves others. It's one of the ways we demonstrate our love for the Lord, by loving others. Here in John chapter 13, verse 33, the Lord is telling His disciples that He's going away. Well, He's going to be gone. The Messiah is going to be gone. What will we do? How is the world going to get saved? How are people going to believe in the Messiah if the Messiah is gone? There's a question. What happened to your forehead? All week I've been dying to ask you. Scraped his head on the trampoline. It's not supposed to be your head. It's bouncing, you know. It's kind of the other end, you know. Keep the pointy end up, you know. The Navy used to say that at the front of the ship, you can always remember it's the pointy end, you know. It's the same thing on the trampoline. Keep the pointy end up. Okay, here's the question. Guys, how is the world going to know Jesus if Jesus is gone? That's what I do. I ask over here and then shift, catch you off guard. Go ahead. Huh? Who? Who tells them? We do. You sure? Okay. You're right. He's going away. So how is the world going to find out about him if he's not here? And he tells us. He says, I'm going to go away. And like I told the Jews, you can't follow me now. You're going to come later, but right now you're going to stay behind. Look at the end of verse 33. All right, let's start over. Little children, yet a little while I'm with you. I'm not going to be here long, he says. You'll seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I go, you cannot come. What's the next word? Huh? I got these old ears, I'm telling you what. Too many airplanes, too much noise. What's the next word? No. The end of verse 33, where I go, you cannot come. What's the next word? Who said that?
Me.
Good. So, now, I say to you. So in other words, the whole purpose of what's going to come is the fact that he's not going to be here, right? I'm going away. I'm going to be with you a little bit. Then I'm going away. Where I go, you can't come now. So now I say to you, what's going to follow? A new commandment I give to you. Just earlier in the week, we talked about one of the ways that we show the Lord our love is by being obedient, right? We obey him. We obey his commands. We also obey his word. We obey what he tells us to do. We obey what we know he would want us to do. So, now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you. What? What's the commandment? Go ahead. Do it louder. Do it louder. Okay, do it. Look it. See the guy in the check shirt way in the back corner? That just ducked? There, right there, that one. You see him? Okay, say it Lana so he can hear it. That you what? Love one another. Do you want to show the Lord how much you love him? How can we do that when he's not here? Do you want to show the Lord how much you love him? How can we do that when he's not here? It's a question. Soliciting an answer right back here. Young lady with the fell out of a tree. Pointy end up. Always pointy end up. That's true, but that's not what he said here. Yes. Striped shirt. Blouse. Stand up again. See the guy back here in the checkered shirt? Right there, see him? See him? Tell him so he can hear you. Good. Good. Here's the deal. Jesus isn't physically here where people can see him, right? They can look around. They can't see him. We want to tell him that we love him. We want to demonstrate to him that we love him. It's our primary occupation. And so, how do we do that? Well, one way we can do that is, striped blouse, keep up. Huh? Louder. Good. You work all day to get adults to do that. You do good. That's good. to love one another. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. I'm going away. I'm only going to be here a little bit. When I leave, Jesus says, not me, Jesus says, when I leave, how are they going to know me? They're going to see me in you. How are they going to do that? They're going to see it because you
love one another.
Because you love one another. Did you hear? All right. How can we love one another? In what way should we love one another? Do it what?
By saying, I like your shirt. It's a little bland today, but
look at the next line. We're going to take this kind of just little by little here. Verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love what? Okay, how? Read the next part. Go ahead. Yeah. You who likes my shirt. Adults cheat. Wait, right there. What you just read there. As give me a little help down here. Where'd that come from? Whoa, good, good. Here's the deal. I'm going away, Jesus said. I'm going to be with you a little bit, and then I'm going to be gone. And so I'm telling you, this is what you need to do. You need to love one another. Well, how do we do that, Lord? As I have loved you. How did he love us? Yes. Do it what? By what? So, we should all put crosses out here. And because it was your idea, you get to go first. This is turning into a very bad idea, right? You're right on the money, though. It's exactly right. In dying on the cross, what did he really do? Yes, died for our sins. He gave himself, right, for us. He gave himself for us. Listen, loving isn't cheap. Loving isn't cheap. Loving isn't easy. In this world, when people talk about love, they talk about what's in it for them. I love you, really, in this world means I want what you have for me. It's a what's in it for me love. God's love isn't that at all. God's love is what's in it for you. What can I do for you? How can I sacrifice myself? He sacrificed himself on the cross for you, right? What's your name?
Sarah.
Oh, what a good name. Queen Sarah. Very good name. It's a Bible name, you know. Did you know that? Caught her husband telling fibs. Yeah. It's a good name. What are you looking at her for? She feeding you answers? No. God so loved who? Sarah. That he, John 3:16. God so loved who? Sarah. That if Sarah would just believe in him, she would never perish, but have everlasting life, right? God so loved Sarah that he gave, right? As I have loved you, that you also love one another. How did he love us? He gave himself for us, right? Gave himself for you. She's thinking, I'm sorry I answered that first question. It got me into all this. I'm only going to be with you a little while, Jesus said, and then I'm going away. Like I told the Jews, you can't come now. And so, how are people going to come to know me? They're going to come to know me by watching you, Sarah, and you, boys. And they're going to watch you as you love others in the same way Christ loved you. You're going to demonstrate the love of Christ to those around you. Demonstrating our love for the Lord by loving others. And loving them sacrificially. Not just convenience love. Not just what's in it for me love. Not just loving when I have time, or when I have energy, or when I have finances, or when I have extra things. But loving in a way that's sacrificial. Giving up things that you may want to do, or like to do, or want to have time to do, in order to do for someone else. Going by their house. Cleaning their house. Mowing their yard. Shoveling their snow, if you have such an unknown commodity. I heard you had a lot of it here last year. Do you have snow blowers here? No? This kind, yeah. That's when it's benefit to be big and tall. That's how you love like Jesus loved, sacrificially. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. Look at verse 35. By this, what? Do it again louder. By this, what is this? Having love one for another, right. The way we love others, by that shall all men know that you're my disciples. What's the next word? If, right. If you have love one for another. Christianity, in a nutshell, love. God so loved, Jesus so loved, you and I so love. When Mr. Wilson, T. Ernest Wilson, went to Angola as a young man, he felt the Lord calling him there. And one day he thought, you know, Ernest, how can you go tell people in Africa about Jesus when you can't even tell your neighbor about Jesus? And there was this nasty woman who's long gone, so she won't hear this recording, who lived right around the corner. And he thought, that'll be a good test. If I can go and tell her about Jesus, then I can tell Africans about Jesus. So he screwed up the most courage that he could get, and he went over to this nasty old woman's house. And she came to the door, and he said, "Oh, Mrs. So-and-so, I'm Ernest Wilson. And I would like to tell you about Jesus, who loves you and died on the cross for you." And she said, "Oh, Ernest, I'm so glad that you came. I'm a Christian already, but nobody's ever talked to me about the Lord Jesus." And he thought, you know, I wonder how many other people are out there that just need somebody to come and visit them. And maybe they're a little cranky or crotchety because nobody does come and visit them. And it really encouraged him, and it really encouraged her, and he went away and ended up going to Angola for most of his life. Angola, the country in Africa. By this will all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. Hold your finger here real quickly. Well, we won't go there. I'll just tell you the story. The rich young ruler came to the Lord Jesus one day, and he said, "Master, what do I need to do? What do I need to do to get to heaven?" And the Lord didn't want to tell him there's nothing he can do to get to heaven. It's going to already be done. But the Lord said, "Well, what about the commandments?" And the man said, "Well, I've obeyed all of those from birth, you know, all of them." "Oh, really? Do you love your neighbor like you love yourself?" "Of course I do." This is not an exact quote. I'm sort of ad-libbing it. He said, "Fine." He said, "Well, then take everything you have and sell it and give it to your neighbor." And it said, the man went away sad, for he had great wealth. You see, he loved his neighbor, but he didn't love him that much. He didn't love him sacrificially. He didn't love him enough to give up what he had for that neighbor. That's really the love of Christ, giving up you for someone else. It costs too much for the rich young ruler to come to Christ. Look at the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 12. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." You're my friend. What's the next word? "If you do whatever I command you." And what's he commanding? That we should love one another. This would seem like the easiest thing in the world, wouldn't it? Until our brother or sister gets up against us, you know, and they get up on the wrong side of us, and they maybe say something offensive or do something offensive or don't do something nice or don't say something nice, and then it's pretty easy to get our noses out of joint. And what we ought to do is think about how the Lord Jesus was spat upon and his beard was pulled out of his face. And it says his back was like a plowed field from the cat of nine tails. And he never cursed them. He loved them. And he went to the cross and died for them. And as he hung on the cross, he looked down and he said, "Father, forgive them. They just don't know what they're doing." And you know, I think it's a good advice for you and me. Sometimes when people get up against us, for us to just say, you know, they just don't know what they're saying. Or they just don't know what they're doing. And we need to love each other anyway. Turn back to 1 John, way at the back of your Bibles, real quickly. It'll be the last verse. First John chapter 3. In verse 14. We know, and the little word "know" there means to know from outward evidence. In other words, we look in the mirror and we know that we need to shave, right? It's outward evidence. That's the idea there. We know that we have passed from death to life. Why? You boys right here. Why? Are you with me? 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. We know that we've passed from death to life. Why? All right. Because we love the brethren. We know that we've passed from death to life. It's one of the proof tests of our salvation. Why? Because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. By this we perceive the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought, this is the idea of obligation, it's an indebtedness, to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his compassions for him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. It's one of the proof tests of our salvation, because we love the brethren. When we get to heaven, we're going to love one another perfectly. What a life it'll be in heaven. It'll be great, you know. But living together down here can sometimes be a trial. Sometimes we don't say things perfectly or do things perfectly. And those are times that we just need to keep in mind, you know, God loved me when I was long ways from perfect. And I guess I can love Dr. Johnson when he's, you know how far short he falls, you know. He wreaked havoc on my mouth the other day. I was sure he meant it painfully just to get at me, you know. But I loved him anyway. It's the quality of myself. No, I'm kidding. Sometimes it's hard to love each other, isn't it? I mean, in a practical sense, we do things and say things that we don't mean. Or we don't do things and don't say things that we ought to say and do. Because we're sinners. Saved, maybe, but sinners. And sometimes we don't do it perfect. And one of the ways we can demonstrate our love for the Lord is by loving one another. And knowing that we're not perfect. Very hard to love young people sometimes. They're very flawed. I was never a young person, so I was always perfect. But you do have to remind yourself about young people. But then as a young person, those old codgers, I'm telling you, you got to really stretch to love them. Because they say and do stuff. They're in your face all the time, man. I know. And girls, it's the same thing. You know. And one of the proof tests of how we love the Lord is how we love one another. Young people putting up with older folks. The young people add the vim and vigor to a meeting, you know? Sometimes it's like a fire when it first starts, you know. It's got lots of popping and snapping and spitting and things, you know. But you don't throw cold water on it. You just kind of fan it. It'll come along. It'll get there. Someday it'll be old and gray-haired too. Well, the older folks, they add the stability to a meeting, you know. And the young folks got to understand. Well, they're stable. You know, it takes them longer to tie their shoes than it does me to get all dressed, you know. So they got to be a little tolerant of the older folks. And by loving one another, people watch on, and they watch and they say, I wonder what Jesus is like. Do I really want to be a Christian or not? And as they see how we love one another, it may cause them to say, you know, I'd like that. I watch the way those couples live, husbands and wives. How many years? 34? I'm sorry, I'm looking at the wrong person. 34 years? Watch them live together for 34 years. They're still holding hands, still loving each other, getting down on his knee. Well, this is not bad. And young people can say, you know, that's the kind of marriage I'd like. Or the older folks watching young people survive temptation and not yield to it. One of the Bible verses we teach our children in our little school is, even a child is known by his doings. One day a dad was in the garage working on his lawnmower, and his son was out in the front yard. And a little neighbor boy came and tried to entice him to do something wrong. And the little boy said, no, he said, that's not a good thing to do. Oh, come on, nobody's going to know, nobody will see. No, I don't think that's a good deal. Come on, let's just go do it, we'll go do it, and we'll be back, no one will even know you're gone. And the little boy looked at him and said, even a child is known by his doings. And his daddy said, That's my boy. He survived temptation, didn't he? And it does us well when we watch that happen. And it does the young people well as they see the older people living out their Christianity day by day. By our love will they know that we're his disciples. One of the ways we demonstrate our love to the Lord is by loving one another. Father, bless your word to our hearts, we pray. Father, bless this place. We pray for the elders and the deacons and for each one who walks through the doors of this incredibly good chapel. We pray for the young people here, the future of the meeting, young men and young ladies, as they learn and grow, come to know you in a personal way and come to live for you. We pray for their protection, that they be not lured into the things of this world. Pray for the adults as they set the example for the young people. Help us, Lord, to make you preeminent in our lives, not just intellectually, but in a practical way. We come to meeting, we come on time, we come early, we come prepared, we participate, we demonstrate the love of Christ in a practical way day by day. We pray for the outreach of this meeting, people who don't know the Lord Jesus in a personal way, that by seeing what goes on here, they would come to know him. Bless, we pray, Father, each person, each home, each family, each marriage, for your glory and for your honor, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.